Let me read from Psalm 96 before we pray. I ask that we stand up for it. Psalm 96 from verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Let us pray. Lord our God, who are we that we may speak with thee, the holy and the true one? Who are we that you speak to us? Faithful God, we have found grace in your sight because of the redemption that took place on Calvary. There the Lamb of God gave his life and shed his blood for the forgiveness of many, and we may belong to it by grace. Faithful Lord, my heart is moved to worship you, to offer unto you the glory of thy name, for great things you have done for us and for all the ends of the earth. Beloved Lord, be present in this meeting. We ask that you give grace to speak and grace to hear. Give words of revelation. May your Spirit rule over us. Teach us. Lead us into all truth. Beloved Lord, we are not here to have a little religious entertainment. We are gathered here before your face, before the end of this generation. You speak, you work, you bring to completion what you have begun. Here we are in your holy presence. Forgive all trespasses. Take away all that could stand between us and you. Take it away, O Lord. Purify the thoughts, the hearts, the lips. Sanctify us in your holy presence. And may your holy blood and your holy word and your Holy Spirit be effective in this hour, in our midst, in our hearts, in our lives. To you, the Almighty God, we lay all things. To you we commend ourselves. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are heartily grateful to the Lord for this service and know that He has blessed us so many times before and will bless us again today. We especially welcome all those who may be here for the first time. In the precious name of the Lord, I have been reading the English Bible, specifically Ezra and Nehemiah, over the past few weeks while traveling, and it spoke mightily to my heart. I just want to share a few thoughts with all of us and read some scriptures on this. I want to start with Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, a word that has spoken very much to me recently, and probably to all those who want to stand their ground before God from the heart, who are not just interested in doing a bit of religion, but are interested in knowing God and His plan with humanity, and to be with God at the end of their pilgrimage. Hebrews chapter 8, second part of verse 5. For see, saith the Lord, that you make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. We have said it often enough. In the kingdom of God, not everyone can do what they want. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of a man. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, only what God has said is valid. People have nothing to say in the kingdom of God. And whoever misuses the kingdom of God to build up his own kingdom and to promote his own cause and to present his own program will one day have to pay heavily. The kingdom of God is under divine care, and let the will of God be done in it, as in heaven, so also on earth. Take heed, saith the Lord to him, that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. Let me read from Ezra chapter 1. For we are really dealing in this time with the return of the people of God, as happened then in the time of Nehemiah, Ezra, Zerubbabel, that the captivity reached its end and the people of God returned to Jerusalem, built up the original wall, erected the original temple, in the temple the altar, restored everything to its original state, with the moment of return, one thing began to happen after another. No new wall, no different place, even for the temple, no new location, all in the ancient place, as God had pleased it, according to his desire and will, and had it built by his servants. That is our lesson. The leading back of God's people in this time, back to the Word, back to the beginning. The last message must be as the first was. The church at the end must be as it was at the beginning. The same foundation, the same preaching, everything must be restored to its original state. This is what the term restoration of all things implies. Restoration in the same place, the same foundation, the same measurements, everything. And there's only one standard, and that is God's Word. All have to be measured by this standard. As I said, I was incredibly moved and filled with great joy to know that when God's time comes, we don't do what we want, then we do what God wants. Then we become part of the will of God. Then not only will we build, then we will build according to the pattern God has given us, according to the plan He has left. And then building is done in the same place, on the same foundation. If you go back to the beginning of the Bible, you will find very quickly that the word Babel, which is actually called the gate of God, has suddenly become Babylon, which is called confusion. When God does something, He opens a door, a gate, for anyone who wants to enter. And then it happens that people also want to do something, and suddenly it is no longer the gate of God. As Jacob said at that time, here is the gate of God. He saw the angels descend and come down. God was present. People can quickly make a Babylon out of a gate of God. And we simply have to remain real also within this message and openly admit and say it, that out of the way of God, out of the divine truth, out of the gate that the Lord has opened, according to the scripture, behold, I give before thee an open door, and when He unlocks, no one else can close. Of course, when He closes, no one can unlock. But if God has given us the privilege of actually coming to the entrance of the tent of the tabernacle in these days, to hear the original word of God, then let us examine whether the building we are engaged in, the measurements conform to the ordinance and all that goes with it, as God has said in His word. Let me read from Ezra 1. I want to read some scriptures on this subject to give us the comparison with the New Testament. Ezra 1 from verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. First up to here. A word addressed to the people of God, not to all others. But let him that is of his people, let him go up, and with him be his God. Not he who goes to Rome or anywhere else, but he who belongs to the people of God. Let him come back to the starting point. The teaching should go forth from Jerusalem, and the word from Mount Zion. And so it happened, and so it will happen again in the future. The parallel is very simple. What particularly strikes me here is the glorious saying that the word of the Lord, which went forth by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. God had prophets, has announced things, judgment, and so on. I want to read that from the prophet Jeremiah just now. Jeremiah chapter 25, it's here in verse 12. Jeremiah 25, verse 12. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon, and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and so forth. When the announced 70 years were over, God wanted to execute judgment and bring back his people. I read from the prophet Daniel, from chapter 9, the second verse, Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The Spirit of God in the prophets began to work around the time of the fulfillment of the prophecies God had given through prophets who had lived before them, announcing what was to come and what would happen. We believe that God continues to work in the same way, always according to his holy word, and we have to search the scriptures to know what God has promised for this time. I would like to read from Ezra chapter 2, verse 62. For there are a number of features here that we have to look out for that relate just as much to our return to the restoration. Ezra chapter 2, 62 and 63. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the governor said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest who could consult the Urim and Tumim. I don't know if we ever talked about this at all here in this place. We can read it in some scriptures, especially also in Exodus 28:30, Deuteronomy 33:8, and in other places. In Aaron's breastplate, there were the 12 stones, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And every time it was to be decided whether the thing was genuine or not, from God or not, then the person concerned had to speak out his dream, his revelation, whatever it was, before this man of God who wore the breastplate. If the light shone supernaturally, then the thing was true, then it was real, then it was from God. If the light of those 12 stones in the breastplate did not shine, if it remained dark, then God was silent. Then the thing that was presented was not from God. Who of you knows about this? Who has read the Old Testament thoroughly to know what it's about? I have read it especially concerning this point also, because Brother Branham, in some sermons about Hebrews, he spoke very specifically on this subject, and he literally said, the doctrine of the 12 apostles is like the breastplate in the Old Testament, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And if it does not shine forth by what the 12 apostles of the Lamb have preached and taught, then we can forget it. He became very serious in this teaching and just warned against believing something if it is not biblical, because then it remains dark. Then no revelation, no enlightenment comes. Whenever light comes, it comes through the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. And I have had to endure many a thing, because I asked brothers directly, where is it written? And then it came, the prophet has said it, the prophet has said it. You can misunderstand what the greatest prophet said if you don't take it back to the scriptures, what he said, to let God already say what was said. God is not just beginning to speak today or yesterday. God has already said everything he wanted to say. Only it was hidden. It was not revealed, because the time had not yet come. But it is even written in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, whoever adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, To him will be added the plagues of which it is written in this book. There are really people who add some things with great enthusiasm, and God cannot tolerate it. He can't. God is a holy God. He demands respect for him and his holy word. You can't read the Bible like a novel or a daily newspaper. You have to read it in holy reverence. So the point here was that there were some who didn't have a birth certificate to prove that they now belonged to this particular tribe, in this case the priestly tribe. And that also spoke to me. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the well-known scripture, not born by the will of man, but born of God. A truly divine birth certificate, born of the seed of the Word, through the Holy Spirit, born to be united with God, because God revealed himself in Christ and included us in this divine generation. These people should wait until the Urim and Tumim come again. Hopefully I will find a place where it's written of the lights and perfections. It should be maybe Exodus 28. I haven't looked it up specifically, but it is certainly written, and I ask you to read along a bit. Doesn't need to be now, can be at home sometime. I just want to look up Exodus 28, because there it should be written that God gave the answer by lights and perfections. Yes? Exodus 28, verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Tumim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. I think there's the passage of Saul that God neither answered him by the lights and perfections, nor by a dream, and so forth, but by this breastplate ordained of God, by the light, the perfection of the thing should be made manifest. If there was no light, then it was not right. If it was right, then light. And so it is with a true preaching. That is why Paul can write to the Thessalonians, "Ye beloved brothers, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you." God is leading his people back. At that time, when the Israelites returned from captivity, everything returned to its original state. The city wall, the temple, the altar, light and law, the divine order was re-established on holy ground in a holy place for the people of God. I believe the same is happening in these days. Not a new order, not a different order, but the holy divine order on holy ground, on the original foundation that was laid, of which Paul says, no other foundation can be laid except the one that has been laid, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Everywhere people are drawn away from the Word, and sometimes even under very pious objection. The most pious objection I have heard is, nobody understands the Bible. There was only one who understood it. And now we don't need to read it. It is enough if we read his sermons. You know I'm taking a deep breath. You have surely noticed it. Nothing is so far from the truth as that. The first part of the statement one could leave. There really was no prophet to whom the word came by revelation. And thanks be to God that he had a man to whom he could speak. But the second part, to close the Bible, let it be rejected for all eternity. I have actually really opened up my Bible since Brother Branham's ministry and read it right. I read with seeing eyes. I read with inner understanding. Read with access to divine revelation. And that is the point that matters. You can be deceived very quickly in a pious way. I'm sure you know I get all kinds of letters. Some of them are not pleasant. When I once said or wrote somewhere that we have to place all things into the Holy Scriptures, then this dear brother wrote me, "We don't need anyone to take things and place them again in the Holy Scriptures." But that is precisely our task, to rightly divide the word of truth, to put things where they belong, on the original ground. And I'm so grateful to God that, as far back as I can remember, I have had an intimate connection to his word, and I love to repeat myself in that. From the time I really understood that God had sent Brother Branham as a man of God, as a prophet, I began to reread and to search the Bible anew, and I found that things were true. It is written in the book of Acts, those who were at Berea were more noble, for they searched the scriptures, whether it was so, whether it was so. They not only heard, they searched. They received certainty before the face of God, that you inwardly rest therein. It is not enough that a proclamation is given. We can only rest in God when we have been inwardly satisfied before God that the matter is according to his word. For only then do we rest in God. Before that, we may rest in a misunderstanding that we thought we had to declare as revelation. But there is no misunderstanding in the Holy Scriptures. Here applies what Peter mentioned about Paul and also to Brother Branham. Peter mentioned it at that time and writes, in his epistles are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest unto their own destruction. But since God has instructed us, we are no longer unlearned. We know about the promises God has made. We recognized the day in which we live. We recognized the message and the messenger. But please, not to make a cult out of it. Maybe I should put this out in the open here. When some people witness to it, that the Son of the great man of God being greeted with "Good morning, Lord," then this goes much too far. It is idolatry and nothing else. God has appointed me to stand up for the truth, and if He should call me home before then my voice shall still be heard until the day of the return of Jesus Christ. God has not given us the spirit of idolatry. You all know there were people in Brother Branham's lifetime who fell down before Him, worshipped Him as Jesus Christ. They baptized in the name of William Marion Branham and so on. All the religious world knows about these things, and the same cult is carried on. I used to wonder sometimes why these brethren were so much against me. Today I know. I, Brother Frank, have not touched a hair on any of them. It is for the sake of truth, for the sake of the Word, for which I live, for which I die. And that is what it's all about. And I say this again. In the very end, all interpretations will lose. They will not last. They will cease. But God's Word remains forever. And all who have received the Word remain with the Word for all eternity. That is the divine substance in us. When it was said in Psalm 82 and in John chapter 10, when God called those gods to whom His Word came, who were they? They were the prophets. And what was the divine in them? The Holy Word, the divine substance they received from God, brought about divine life in them. The same is with us. No difference. God has only one plan. It begins from the beginning of time and ends when time merges into eternity. God does not have two or three plans. He has one plan with His people. And you will see that all the men of God agreed with all the men of God who lived before them. Only false prophets have said something different. True prophets have always spoken the same language of God. There is no contradiction, neither in the Old nor in the New Testament. Let me now bridge to what Paul writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 10, here it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon," and so on. Then verse 12. "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day of judgment shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." I was particularly concerned with this. No other foundation can be laid except that which has already been laid. And this divine foundation was laid bare at this time. Everything that had collapsed, all that was left in rubble and ashes, was cleared up. The same foundation, all in the same place, in the same way. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Not in a new place, but the same spot, the same word, the same doctrine. Everything as it was in the beginning, so it must be in the end. In the letter to the Hebrews, there is also a wonderful word, so that we know right away that God does not speak past us and does not work past us, but that we are all involved. At that time, the house of God was built, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read from verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, so it is not the good beginning that matters, but the good end. Here we are shown the house of God, the temple of God in the New Testament. Ye are the temple of God. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are joined together as living stones, as Peter puts it, to a spiritual building. Christ, the cornerstone and the capstone, Alpha and Omega. But we are inserted into this divine building. And therefore, it is simply necessary that we be made to fit. Who knows the story of the building of the temple in the time of Solomon? Did you know that when all the stones were joined together, there was not one hammer blow? That all the stones were made to fit beforehand. When the day of the joining came, no sound was heard. Everything fitted smoothly, 100%. No more saw, no more hammer, no more chisel, no more machining. Everything fitted. And why did it fit? Because it was prepared under the divine arrangement. If we are to be made to fit, then please, under divine supervision, according to the divine pattern, and then it is no longer a human being, then we are dealing with God. Who is ready to return? All those who belong to his people should set out and come back to Jerusalem. The time of captivity was over. I now think of the book of our reformer, Martin Luther, entitled Out of Babylonian Captivity. He wrote in the light of his time, like Calvin and Zwingli and Schwenkfeld and many more, but now is really the time to be led out of any kind of Babylonian captivity, to come back to the holy ground. And most of all, it angers me in the spirit when within the message new Babylonian prisons are being set up and people are being enslaved anew, and the church is being torn apart and divided so close to the return of the Lord. This shall come to an end. The Lord claims his people and speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, "I will seek out my flock." And we have the promise in Corinthians, if we hear the call and come out, that he will be our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Who is the temple of God? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is up to something. He doesn't just want to pass time. We may do that sometimes. He has a plan, and that plan is for eternity. If now, at the end of days, he brings the word of the prophets and apostles to fulfillment and restores his church to its original state, then we must be careful that it is really 100% the same as the beginning. The same foundation, the same preaching, teaching and practice, all the same. Only then we can be the temple of God. This temple is not built by us. He builds it himself, but we must allow ourselves to be integrated into this building. This is not possible as long as we are tossed to and fro, but only when we abandon ourselves into the hands of this great architect and master builder and say, Lord, here I am. Make me fit into this building. After all, we are all waiting for God to walk and work in our midst. Aren't we? Yes, when will it happen? When the stones are still lying around and when everything is still in a mess? Or when the divine building is majestically joined together in divine love, each in his place, each for its task, everything where it belongs, on the original foundation. No one can lay any other foundation. Let me be clear. Brother Branham did not lay a new foundation. He has uncovered the old. He showed us what it looked like, the measurements, and everything we could see by grace. His message was, back to the Word. The Word, the original seed of God. All things that God does, He does according to His Word. And all things that servants of God have to do in the kingdom of God, they do according to the Word of God. We believe that the ministry of Brother Branham, excuse me if I mention his name a few times today, but God did use him. And I am very grateful for that. In the same way, we have to balance, not to give glory to a vessel, but to the potter who forms the vessel. He has the power to create vessels for honor and dishonor. If he has succeeded in creating a glorious vessel for his glory, then thanks be to him, the potter. I'm not going to stand before a vessel and give thanks to the vessel. It would not understand it at all. But I can give thanks to the potter who formed it so well and used it so beautifully. Thanks be to our God for all the prophets, for all the apostles, for all, for men of God who proclaimed the lights and the perfections to the people of God so that they might be plucked out of darkness, out of unbelief, and placed under the care of God, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. The temple was rebuilt with great difficulty. Threats, interruptions, enemies, half-brothers. Interesting to read the whole story. But then it is written, the hand of the Lord, their God, was with them, and they finished the building. The hand of our God will be with us, despite some obstacles, despite some difficulties. We don't stand at our own business, not our own name. We stand at the work of God, which is now coming to completion. Here, as we have just read, it is said in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? No, and again no. God gives His glory to no other. He alone is worthy to receive praise and glory, honor and worship forever. Now, it is up to us whether we are inwardly ready to let God build us up on this holy foundation of faith. I will read to this from Jude. Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Building yourselves up on what? On your most holy foundation of faith. Paul said, the foundation is laid, another cannot be laid. And in the meantime, many things were broken. People built, brought in wood, hay, straw, stubble, raised up great things, and God was not in the matter. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the day of judgment will be manifested in fire, and fire will test the thing. Throw hay into the fire, very quickly gone. Throw stubble into the fire. There's a nice flame and a bit of smoke. Wood a little longer, but even then it's soon over. What is the promise that God gave us in the last church age? Namely, in the letter to Laodicea. I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined in the fire, and to put on white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. God wants to bring us back to the beginning, to the origin, not to what happens afterwards. The end and the beginning must be exactly the same. I don't let go of that. I believe in it. Just as in the Old Testament, the temple which had been torn down was rebuilt when the time appointed for it had come. And it is written that the glory of the second temple would be greater than that of the first. So in the church of the living God, which is His house, His temple, it must once again come to the point that God dwells among us and walks and works. There is no other way. In the prophetic ministry, the Lord has only given us a foretaste so that we know what He has prepared for us. Can you believe that? Beloved, it is just necessary that we honor God by faith. Through unbelief, we tie God's hands and do not realize that we are in our own prison. Even thoughts can become our prison. Circumstances, all kinds of things can become our doom or even prison. But those who wait on the Lord receive new strength. that they soar like eagles, that they run and don't get weary. We believe, as the scripture said, "Ye my people, come out, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, then ye shall be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your God." This is the time of calling out, the time of preparation, and the Lord already knows the time when everything will be harmoniously joined together. May the meetings that we have, the word reflection, the teaching, serve for the purpose to make us fit for this final divine building, so that the Lord can truly once again dwell and walk on this earth among his people, so that he could once again confirm his word and bless his people, so that the difference can be manifested between those who believe and serve him and those who do not. In the prophet Malachi, there is actually this term: "Then you will see the difference between the one who serves me and the one who does not serve me." It is not only time to hear the word and believe. It is time to obey the word, to serve the Lord, to become doers of the word, to just let ourselves fall into the hands of the Lord, so that he can make us fit. To return once again to the beginning with the lights and perfections, everything that comes from God is after all revealed by him. It is light. And then it is written with reference to us: "Wake up, you who sleep. Arise, so Christ will enlighten you." It is also written, "It will be light at evening time." God has given us light. He has shown us the divine right anew, the biblical truths placed on the lampstand, has actually brought us back to the original foundation, to the doctrine of the apostles. Here I would like to refer to Brother Branham. In the same sermons on Hebrews, he talked about Revelation 12, where it speaks of the woman wearing a crown of 12 stars on her head. And then he said, with great certainty, the New Testament church is crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles. Yes, it just belongs to it. God does not change the foundation, does not change the doctrine. He doesn't change anything. With God, everything remains the same. Malachi 3, verse 6 probably. "I am God, I do not change." Hebrews 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And remember, it is from the church, crowned with the doctrine of the 12 apostles, that the man-child, the overcomer multitude, will be born. Let us please grab hold and say, "Lord, we have heard your word." Compromise is out of the question for us. We want to come forth as the true seed of God, to be part of the overcomers who will be caught up to the throne of God, to first celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then later reign with Christ for 1,000 years, and then be with him for eternity. There is a first fruits, a multitude of overcomers, destined to believe God, to trust God, to take Him at His word, and be made fit by Him to be here as the temple of God. I would also like to emphasize this once again. Please don't look on yourselves, to me or to others. Look to the Lord. He is really the potter. If there is a thing, you know the story of the prophet Jeremiah. There was a thing that the potter had not succeeded in doing. And the prophet watches as the potter drops the vessel into shards. If you and I drop a vessel, we cannot make a new vessel out of it. Then only shards remain and nothing else. But the Lord, the real potter, can make a new lump out of the broken pieces and form a new vessel. That is our God. If we have failed a little here and there, my goodness, let us trust it to our Lord that He can make a new, glorious lump, and that finally vessels for His glory, under His word, under the power of His Spirit, can come forth, into which divine content can be filled, which can then be here for the glory of His name. If we did not have faith, but perhaps had to say, yes, what am I? Who am I? Don't you worry. The Lord is concerned about us. He Himself wants to bring His work to completion with His church. And we do indeed have the grace and the privilege to belong to the called out, returning multitude at the end of these days. All ye that are of His people, return. The God of Abraham be with you. The rest of the nations stayed where they were. The people of God returned. All the churches and denominations, all fellowships, whatever they may be, will remain where they are. But the people of God will listen to the voice of God in this hour and come back, not to Rome, to Jerusalem, there where the foundation was laid, and built as the apostles built, and let themselves be built up on the most holy foundation of faith. Is this your desire? Do you long for it? Do you really? To become the temple of God, to be put into function, so that a consecration of God can take place in His temple. You all know, when the temple was dedicated in Solomon's time, the glory of God came down, so that the priests could not go in, because the glory of God filled the temple. They fell down on the pavement in front of the temple, because the glory of God was so great. What about the second one? When the temple was dedicated in Jerusalem, I'm now talking about the New Testament church, on the day of Pentecost, the glory of God came down and filled the whole house where they were. It was the glory of God, filled with life and the Spirit of God, tongues of fire, anointing of the Holy Spirit, everything was there. God was putting the first stones together to form this glorious building. Now, when it is written, we have read the passages many times, that the Lord waits in heaven until the time of the restoration of all things, as He had said it by the mouth of His servants and prophets. We can read it. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. There it is written, so when the Lord waits for the moment until all things have been restored. And we testify that his return is near. Oh, what a longing should fill us. How we should cry out, Lord, have mercy on us. Prune, grind, make it fit, that in the moment of joining together, no one has to work on the other, trim him, move him back and forth. That happens all the time now. It is no longer necessary. What we need is something quite different, that we do not let ourselves fall into the hands of men, but into the hands of God. Not one working the other, not one making the other fit as it suits him, but God making us all fit, so that where we belong, we finally fit in. He is the Lord who builds his own house. We could look up many more scriptures, including 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, about the house of God being the foundation and pillar of truth. Many more. Today, my main concern was to show us from the shadow images, from what happened in the Old Testament, that God has a plan with his people. And next, in God's plan, is the completion of the bride church from the nations. And after that, the word will return to Israel. What matters to us and to God now is that what is next really happens now. And that is the building up of the church of Jesus Christ. According to the word of our Lord, I will build my church. He builds. He sends apostles. He sends prophets. He sends his word. He makes well. He corrects. He sets things right. He makes fit. It is up to you and me to put our will into the will of God. We could add here another word to the matter, into which we don't want to go into detail now. For there are two I wills, from one side and from the other. Let us want what God wants. May we really only fit ourselves into his will. It was Lucifer who said several times in succession, I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High. Just read the several I wills that were uttered before his fall. And then there is the I will in the New Testament. There our Lord says, as the Son of Man, not my will, but thy will be done. And then the word in the letter to the Hebrews, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I am come to do thy will, O God. And then the word is written, in this will we are sanctified once for all. Beloved, we could list a whole register. Today and in eternity, it is about the will of God. And in this will of God, we have to submit if we want to be part of what God has ordained for this time. I believe that what is going on now is in the will of God. I believe that God has used the prophetic ministry to open our spiritual eyes, to see and realize what promises God has made. Point two, that the mysteries that were in the Word but had remained hidden would be revealed from Genesis to Revelation 22. Point three, that we as the people of God might return to the holy foundation of faith that we might be built up into a spiritual temple, so that God might once more reveal His glory on earth, that He may dwell and walk in our midst and among us. God has given us His word, which we pass on with joy, spiritual food in due season to distribute it. And we would like it to be as pure as it was left to us, as pure we would like to pass it on at all times, namely this hidden divine manna, which we are allowed to eat in this time, as the true spiritual food of God's revealed word. It is a light in the darkness. With this, I would like to close. Peter, after all, pronounced it and also wrote, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy that shineth as a light in a dark place." The revealed word becomes a light, and in that light we see that which is right before God. When the word is not revealed through the Holy Spirit, people interpret it in all directions and it remains dark. But when it is revealed through the Holy Spirit, then it becomes alive, then it becomes powerful, then it is sharper than a two-edged sword, then it penetrates until it separates soul and spirit, marrow and bone. And then we will reap the fruits that God has already destined for us. For we could not bring them forth unless He works them in us by grace. Much more could be said. May God bless these words in all of us. May we really take it to heart. Understand how serious the time is. Please, no more mixing. You have seen it. Please read it in Ezra, in Nehemiah. Those who had mixed were put out. At the time when the temple was rebuilt, all those who had mingled were put out. There is no more mixing. That time is over. God has pulled us out of all mixture. He has taken us out in order to bring about something new by grace in us, on us. And if it is in His will, ultimately, even through us, to the glory and praise of His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and worship the Lord together. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yes, he cried out, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your souls." Rest in God, resting in the arms of my Lord. There is a rest for the people of God. In the holy place, on God's holy ground, as at the beginning, so also at the end. The same building, the same material, the same measurements, and the same scale. Everything, as it was in the beginning, so now in the end. The Lord has given us the message of restoration by grace. Should He not also give us the restoration? He who has awakened in us a legitimate hope and brought about faith through His word of promises and through the Holy Spirit, should He not accomplish it? He is able. He will do it. Praise be to His holy name, now and forever. Amen.